I've entitled the sermon this morning, What's in a Song? And I just wondered if I asked you what you might think was the three most popular songs at Christmas, I wonder what you would say. Well, at number three, we have Last Christmas by Wham, and here's the chorus. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. You gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Not very joyous, is it? The second most popular song at Christmas is this one here, Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande. And here is the chorus. And I'll let you read that yourselves there. It doesn't really fill you with joy either, does it? And you know, maybe the number one most popular song, All I Want From Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. And here's the chorus of it. I just want you for my very own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. Christmas songs, but all very self-centered. I gave you my heart, but you gave it away. Does he really care? And all I want is you. Great tunes, maybe, but the words don't really fill us with joy. But don't worry. I am going to tell you about another song, and I've already heard it, read about it this morning, that a young Muller sang. And it will teach you a truth from God's word that I think will change your life. And if you grasp this truth, and if you apply it, it will transform your every working day with its tensions, with its gut-wrenching conflicts, and its difficult people. You cannot sing in the kingdom of God with a proud heart. Think about that for a moment. You cannot sing in the kingdom of God with a proud heart. It is easy to come into God's house when everything is going well and we feel proud at what we have achieved during this week. But what about if we don't know what the future holds? If things maybe are not going well, things seem uncertain, how can we sing to God with joy in our hearts? There's a verse in 1 Peter 5, 7, and it says this here, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Mary was exactly in this position, a virgin getting pregnant, not even married. What would her husband-to-be think? What would her parents think? Mary's response to all this, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What a response by Mary. There was no negativity there, only giving herself in response to what the Lord wants with her. Only the humble of heart can welcome Jesus as the mighty one. The one who brings down rulers from their throne but lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry but sends the rich away empty. He is the promise of Israel and fulfilled promise of Abraham. He is the advent of all hope, all peace, all joy, and all love. You know, God is the only strong one, and he takes the weak ones, like Mary, like Esther, like David, like Daniel, and exalts them, showing that he is the source of their strength. And he always takes the proud, the mighty, like Pharaoh, like Nebuchadnezzar, like Jezebel, and he humbles them, showing that their power is nothing. You know, worldly power, worldly accomplishment, worldly pride is all nothing. Indeed, to the extent that they make us think we do not need God, they are worse than nothing. They are dangerous. You know, God always keeps his covenant. He always shows mercy, but he shows that mercy only to the humble, to the one who admits that he needs God's mercy. As Mary sees this, as she sees that she deserves nothing from God, but like so many through history, she receives great mercy from God himself. She overflows with joyous praise. What about you this morning? Will you humble yourself? Will you admit your need for him? Will you thus magnify God? He who is mighty, he who is faithful, he who expresses covenant love to his people will do great things for you too. You might say, I'm not chosen to be the mother of Jesus. I'm not chosen to do anything important. So how does that apply to me? Well, let me give you an example. We generally run a Christianity Explored course in our church every year. And I usually make up my mind to ask a young man along to it. And for 3 years, I asked that young fella along to it, and he refused to come. Now, I could have been proud in saying, well, I'm not going to go and knock on his door again and ask him. But I humbled myself enough to go and knock on that door for the fourth year running, and I asked the young fellow to come. And he came along this year, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he now helps out at the church. And I can tell you, there was great joy in my singing that Sunday. And you know, if you never humble yourself, you'll never be able to love others like Jesus. Safe love doesn't believe that God has a plan for our future. His plan, and if I'm going to be part of it, I have to believe his mercy, his love, his protection is greater than my fear. You know, I'm sure Mary had many fears about her future, her relationship with Joseph, what the people would think, and the birth of baby Jesus. In this song that Mary sings, she hits us in four different ways, and it's very clear that this young lassie knows exactly her scriptures and her biblical history. The first thing that Mary talks about is God's goodness to Mary. My spirit praises the Lord. I am full of joy because God is my Savior. Although I'm not important, he has remembered me, his servant, and from now on, people of all times will call me blessed. You know, within those verses, we see Mary's joy because she has already given her life to the Lord. She is walking with the Lord, and no matter what comes along, she feels blessed. At times in our life, we may have many things happen. We may not have the blessings of carrying a new baby, but we may have been given a responsibility of being a leader in our church, in our families. And we should feel real joy at humbly serving God in this way. Because at the end of the day, God is walking alongside us, and the joy of serving him should always be there. Mary goes on to talk about God's character, the power. The God of power has done great things for me. His name is holy. He shows his love and goodness in every age to those people who honor and respect him. The name of God describes what he's like. He is pure and he is perfect. He is powerful over everything and everyone. He is eternal. He is holy. Many people see God in different ways. Do we see God as pure as perfect and powerful over everything. And one of the ways to see these three things is through knowing your Bible. And Mary certainly knew her scriptures. She goes on to talk about the way God changes society. God, with great power, has scattered his people with proud plans. He's brought down rulers from their ranks of power. He has given more honor to the humble people. He has fed the hungry people with good things, but he has sent the rich people away with nothing. You know, Mary speaks of God, of how God has disturbed the plans of the proud people. He has dragged down strong rulers. He has put humble people in ranks of power. Mary was certain that God would act like this in the future. He had already acted like this in the past. You know, the hungry people are poor people, and God will provide for them, as it says in Psalm 107. Also, this means people who are hungry to know God, he will satisfy their spiritual hunger. You know, some people are rich and feel they do not need God, and they will receive nothing. Then the fourth and final part of Mary's song, she goes on to talk about God's promises. He has kept the promise that he made to our ancestors. He has come to help his servant Israel. He has remembered to show his love and goodness to Abraham and to all his descendants at all time. You know, verse 54, his servant Israel means the people of Israel. God had rescued them many times in the past from their enemies. And God was now sending the Messiah who would rescue them from their sin. God had promised this to their ancestors. God promised Abraham that he would bless all the families of the earth. And this would happen by one of Abraham's descendants. Mary realized that God's promise was coming true. The love and goodness that God showed to Abraham would continue in the Messiah's work. The Messiah would bring blessing to all of Abraham's descendants. What's in a song, folks? At the start, I mentioned the three most popular Christmas songs, and all of them were very much self-centered. In contrast, look at Mary's song. I said it could change your life. Remember, you cannot sing in the kingdom of God with a proud heart. And we can clearly see how Mary humbles herself to walk and sing with her Lord. And God exalts her to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Little wonder she was singing with joy in her heart. You know, when we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, then he will exalt us in his timing. If that is not life-changing, folks, then I don't know what is. You know, the humbler and more obedient to God we are, the wiser and more at peace we will be in all that we do. Mary did not exalt herself with pride of carrying the Savior of the world. She humbled herself, and in her words, she exalted her Lord and Savior. I'm just going to finish with a story now that I come across, and I think it just fits very well with what we're talking about this morning. Many years ago, a Christian professor, Stuart Blackie, of the University of Edinburgh, was listening to his students as they presented oral readings. When one young man rose to begin his recitation, he held his book in the wrong hand. The professor thundered, "Take your book in your right hand and be seated." At this harsh rebuke, the student held up his right arm. He didn't have a right hand. The other students shifted uneasily in their seats. For a moment, the professor hesitated. Then he made his way to the student. He put his arm around him and with tears streaming from his eyes said, "I never knew about it. Please, will you forgive me?" You know, his humble apology made a lasting impact on that young man. This story was told sometime later in a large gathering of believers. At the close of the meeting, a man came forward. He turned to the crowd and raised his right arm. It ended at his wrist. He said, "I was that student, Professor Blackby, led me to Christ. But he never could have done it if he had not humbled himself and made the wrong right." You cannot enter the kingdom of God with a proud heart. Let's pray. Father God, while we aspire a life of godly humility, the pull of pride seems too strong to overcome. We so often desire to sit on your throne instead of bowing before you as the only true sovereign and holy God. We think highly of ourselves and our accomplishments and forget we are only a people made of dust who can at best be called a servant of a great God. We even diminish the offense of pride by holding it lightly, forgetting that pride cast Satan from your presence and brought the corruption of your creation. O Lord, rescue us from our foolish pride and help us learn from your gentle and humble heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.